Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We are back. Where have we been? We've been busy, I guess. This is the Advanced Analytics NBA podcast. My name is Guy. I'm joined by my brother, Paul.
Hello.
And I'm joined by my other brother, JT.
Hi, brothers.
Well, and, I just want to say on record that JT is not legally a brother.
He's a brother in my heart. And we're sorry there's been so long between podcasts, but we've had a lot of shit on. Maybe we can talk about that. Maybe we can't. It's time for Advanced Analytics.
If you don't like that, you don't like it.
So where have we been? What have we been doing?
I've been in the courts. I've been fighting a de-brothering in the courts. Yeah.
I've also been in the courts.
Also, wait.
On the other side of that case. It did go my way.
Wait. But like, when you say on the courts on a basketball court, I assumed you meant the basketball court. I was like, sick, JT's been throwing it down on some children again. But instead...
No, that's fine, actually, because you can only sort... In matters of legal brotherhood, you can only sort them... on the basketball court or in the legal court. I should have gone basketball court. I went legal court. I lost.
Well, I've been making a show called New Zealand Today, which has its last episode Thursday night. Please tune in. I go to Granity. It's a bloody good episode. JT, you love the west coast of New Zealand?
Yeah, actually, huge confession yet to watch this current season, Guy, but I've been storing it up just for this week. No, seriously, because I'm off work.
I appreciate it, man.
So I've got media up the wazoo. Favorite show on currently is Love on the Spectrum.
That's good.
Sadly, that's once a week. So I'm looking for a little Guy Williams to fill. I've got 48 hours to fill.
Oh, is Love on the Spectrum like back? Like, but they're showing it once, because I watched season one and it was just on Netflix to binge.
Shit, I don't want to reveal too much now, but let's just say I'm acquiring it once a week. I'm viewing it, not acquiring.
JT.
Strike acquire from the record.
JT, are you on Love on the Spectrum as one of the contestants?
I wish.
Well,
man,
there's no contestants.
Yeah, it's not a reality show.
I actually recommended that on Radio New Zealand in my TV review, which I'm notorious for reviewing shows that I haven't watched. Including when I reviewed what I review that show that the Lovely Bones or some shit, and what's the name of the one that the Luminaries, and I got found out that I hadn't seen it because I didn't know what it was called. It's called the Lumineers or the Luminaries.
Luminaries. I've got a family feud related to that book. So yeah. my great uncle. Oh no, so some distant uncle, because my roots are in the West Coast. Mm. And apparently, what's her name? What's the author's name?
Eleanor Catton. She won the Best Book in the World prize for the book.
Yeah, so she went down to some talk in Hokitika, and my uncle was like, well, these names all are pretty similar to my family tree. Do you want to admit that you've copied our family tree for this book?
Wow.
And she denied it at this talk, and he stormed out. Couldn't get the confession.
Okay.
She's confronted.
Okay, well, your uncle sounds like a madman. But also, you deserve rights from that show and book because, I mean, your family has been robbed, clearly.
John Key was right when she said she's not a real New Zealander, eh?
That was an appalling thing to say about one of the few good people from this bloody country.
Why did he say it?
What?
Why did he say that?
I think she didn't like his flag or something.
Oh, right.
No, I think, didn't she talk about New Zealand being racist? I can't remember what she said.
If John Key pulled a ponytail now, do you reckon it would be a bigger deal than it was?
No.
How weird was that? Pretty weird, eh?
The Prime Minister of New Zealand was obsessed with pulling ponytails.
I've been to that cafe multiple times since then, and it's all I think about when I'm in there.
Wait, what cafe you been to?
It's called Rosie's.
And do people wear ponytails to this day in there?
I definitely think multiple staff members still have ponytails.
It's weird that you know so much about it, Paul. What are you doing? Iron up those ponies.
No, it's hard when you're in there not to just only think about...
But John Key pulled ponytails all around New Zealand, from the beach
to
the... Yeah, there's multiple ponytails. The creepiest one And it might be fine, but there's like a little kid and he's like kind of like stroking her hair. It's there's some bad footage out there, man. It was a very weird. There's a few very weird things about John Key that have yet to be resolved. And one day we'll do a deep dive into them on our own like spin-off podcast, I'm guessing.
Wait, yeah. Is that a spin-off from this or one that's
run by the spin-off?
Run by the website, the spin-off.
The spin-off of this on the spin-off. That's the plan. Paul, you've been filming an exciting TV show?
I have, yeah. Obviously, I've been at the courts as well.
The Basel courts or the legal courts?
The legal courts, battling the same case as JT on the other side, obviously.
Yeah.
We got a good win in that. But between court hearings, I've been shooting the show Taskmaster, season 2 of New Zealand Taskmaster.
Bloody exciting. I've seen some of the footage already and shivers it looks. I'm excited about that.
Hey, congratulations, guys! From me to you, you're both really crushing it right now.
Thanks,
on the silver screen.
Thank you. It's not the silver screen. It's the it's
bronze.
The whatever
bronze
it is.
Screen.
The LED
it is a silver
screen.
It's like aluminium screen.
No, silver screen is the movies, JT.
Yes.
We're on.
We're on the aluminium screen.
JT, you've also been up to exciting stuff.
Have I?
Well, you don't want to disclose it. You've done a lot of stuff. I don't know what you want to talk about and what you don't want to talk about. But
I was going to Google the silver screen thing. I don't believe you.
Silver screen means
movie
screen.
You're right.
The screen was silver. They projected the black and white film onto a silver screen.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. You're right. All I can say is I'm glad that the brother case was over because that would have really buried me. I'm back. Just had my ankle fixed, so my career is back on track.
Can you dunk
now? Sporting career. I think I'm in the cast, but I'm assuming if the cast wasn't on, certainly.
If they can take part of your ligament from your knee and put it in your ankle, then why can't they get like dead people's knees and soup up your knees till you've got like Zion knees and you're springing out the gym, you know?
Well, that's how, I'll answer this in two ways. One is when, say a basketball player has below zero ACL, they get a cadaver's ligament.
Wow.
They don't sacrifice because otherwise they're just taking a tendon from the other place in their knee or their hamstring. So it doesn't make much sense. So they get cadavers. But
Whoa.
Even if I had Zion Williams' knee, like ACL, or his ankle ligament in my ankle, it would probably be no good because it would be too big.
Ah. But why don't we get like an athletic person who's the same size as you know?
Yeah, but I don't think there's that many. Like my body type is like a sort of a pudgy 15-year-old.
And so there's not many cadavers of that description.
That are athletic, but sort of like slightly overweight and really like just a doughy consistency.
If you see a guy with the same body type as you like at the cafe, do you like think about like, you know, killing him and stealing
his
body parts?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm of my class of people, which is like small nerds, I am the peak. I'm the like alpha of my class of person.
Ah.
So if anything, if it's other small pudgy nerds are looking at me being like, I got to get his ligaments. Yeah, I'm not upgrading. I'd be having to go to the bottom of the next class and then that'd be way too much for me.
Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting point. So we've all had interesting things to do and we haven't been talking about basketball. So much has happened, but I thought we would start with something that I thought was mildly humorous. And that all three of us, before the NBA playoffs, we didn't do any podcasts, but we did make predictions in JT's controversial playoff picker tournament. And we have all picked teams, even though we've just started the second round, that have already been eliminated. That's how good we are. All three of us picked teams that are out. That is shocking.
Well, I want to, on the record, I pick against what I think in my heart's going to happen.
I would also like to say that I did some crazy picks. I mainly just wanted like if something crazy happened to be like
correct.
Yeah, I nailed that.
Share on social media.
The annoying thing is
the one
thing that I was like, everything was telling me not to pick the Lakers, but I was like, I'm not gonna. If the Lakers win, I don't want to be double annoyed. You know?
Yeah.
Well, if now that they lose, I'm like, I still feel good about it. You know, rather than.
Well, me and JT picked the Lakers to win, and JT, you're going to defend yourself.
No, because I'm only being held to what I've said on this podcast. And I don't think the NBA, JT's NBA picker is canon.
JT, you made the picker.
Neither. I agree.
It's not canon. It's not canon.
JT, you picked the Lakers. Guys.
It's not canon because on this podcast, I said the Suns and I said the Nuggets. I've always said that.
Those teams aren't going to win either.
Yeah, but the Brooklyn sucks. I hate Brooklyn.
We all hate Brooklyn. Likewise. I think we can agree on that. I think we can agree we all hate Brooklyn. And it's a shame because they're looking effing good right now, even though Harden's out.
So another thing that's in my defense is I put several bets on at the TAB, okay, and I will tell you what I bet on, right? And this is from months ago.
Yeah.
Cash out, okay. RJ Barrett to win most improved, didn't happen. I picked Phoenix to win, and I got them at $35 to win.
You picked Phoenix to win the NBA championship, the Phoenix Suns?
Yes, yep.
From Phoenix?
Yep, and I picked Utah Jazz. Start of the season, that was pretty believable.
To win the championship.
Yeah, and I also put $20 on the Golden State Warriors at $151.
Okay.
They didn't make it.
You've pissed your money away on all of those bets, my guess is. But I thought you just defend yourself, and my defense was I picked the Lakers, and they had bad injury problems, and AD, they were up 2-1 and going, and then AD got injured, you know, and then they lost.
In hindsight, I don't think they were that good.
Paul, do you remember who you picked?
There's a cat in Paul's camera.
Last episode.
Paul, where'd you get a cat from?
Where's that cat from?
There's a cat staying over, Anna.
Is that how you're doing your NBA packs, like that FIFA octopus?
Yes, I brought in Anna the cat, and she's done a horrible job.
And who did she pick for NBA champion?
Are we talking the bracket again?
Yeah.
The bracket's not canon.
Why are you just saying that? Because you both sucked. I sucked too, and I'm owning it. I picked the Lakers. They lost, and I feel bad.
I might be remembering wrong, but I think I picked the Utah Jazz.
You picked the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I picked the Miami Heat, who got swept, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they got smoked. And the one good thing is I was like, oh, great, the Bucks are looking good this year. At least the Bucks are going to do something. Now the Bucks are going to get swept by the goddamn Nets. It's a goddamn disaster.
I think one thing we can all agree on is that last season definitely gets an asterisk now.
I don't know.
If the two finalists get swept in the first round, something wasn't
right. It's a short season, right?
Lakers had bad injury problems. Like they've got two, they're a very top heavy team. They rely on two players, and one of them was injured, and the other one got injured and couldn't play at all. So it was a disaster. But we've got to feel good though. Now there's eight teams remaining, and they're all teams that like have barely been relevant for the last 20 years. Like it's all the perennial South.
It's really cool. The Suns are back, man.
They're back, baby.
The NBA is better when the Phoenix Suns are up
Lost
there
Suns.
In some purple and orange uniforms.
And they're looking good as well. Like they have a well balanced team. And I've got to say, I've kind of hated Chris Paul. His reason why I stopped being a Clippers fan for so many years now. But you got to respect. He's a nice player. He's a quintessential point guard. Like there's no weaknesses to his game except for getting injured every playoffs. But besides that, he's great.
How did you hate him? I've always loved him.
He's a foul-drawing knob who just doesn't stop complaining to the ref the whole game. Him and Blake Griffin created this flimsy team that sucked every year. And he gets injured every playoffs. And it looked like it was going to happen again. And somehow this year he's magically recovered. I don't know how he's managed to do it, but yeah.
I definitely went from loving Chris Paul in his early days to hating Chris Paul back to loving Chris Paul. My fantasy team used to be named after Chris Paul, and I'd draft him every year.
JT, you go.
Here's something I've been thinking about. So the Suns, you know, during Spanish Week, right?
Yes, the Lost Suns.
But why are they called the Lost Suns? Because isn't Suns Seoul?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is incorrect.
Yeah.
Also, there'll be
sense.
A Spanish word for Bulls. Don't just write Lost Bulls on there. Also, they're not called the Bulls. They're just called Bulls. You don't have the Bulls written on the jersey. There's so many problems with that. Also, the St. Patrick's Day green uniforms. You can't have the Bulls playing in green. It's so annoying.
I hate St. Patrick's Day. I wish I could shit on that logo. Honestly, that Kyrie Irving thing is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Wait, what logo? You hate the Celtics.
You know how in basketball players like scuff their shoes all the time for grip?
Yeah.
Guy, you might be able to explain that better than me, but they do it constantly, right? It's like some weird grip thing.
No, it's just you test out the grip on your shoes.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you're like, whatever. And he did that, and he did it on the the little stupid cartoon Irishman.
Yeah.
And so someone threw a bottle at him, and then people were like, Big Baby Davis and all these other, like, KG, like, other, like, grown adult NBA yeah. players were like, yeah, I defend players against fans, but not if they do something that disrespectful. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. It's American sports is crazy, and there's a long history of
That's just racism, though. They just hate Kyrie because he's black and outspoken.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with anything else, right?
I mean, both those players you just mentioned who are hating on Kyrie were both black as well.
But oh, no, but they're just jumping on the bandwagon.
You mean Boston... Boston hates Kyrie because he did have a bad finish with them, but yeah, it was a very minor insult, and nothing justifies throwing a bottle at someone. It was weird how out of the bubble everyone just lost their minds. Like, Americans have been allowed back in the stadium, and they've gone crazy. They're throwing cups of piss at the soccer players, and they spat. A guy spat at Trae Young. That's a criminal assault.
That's really bad.
Spitting at someone. Who does that? That's bizarre behavior. That's
what if he'd had COVID? Isn't that grievous bodily harm?
Probably.
If John Key pulled a ponytail in front of you and the only thing you had in your hand was a bottle, would you throw it at him? Because you said you should never throw a bottle, but I challenge that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I had a weird situation today where I took a photo with a young woman, and the 50-year-old man we got to take the photo said, "You're lucky to be taking a photo with such a beautiful girl." And it just felt... It felt so creepy to me, and I didn't say anything. And I feel bad. And if I had a bottle then, it would have been an overreaction to throw. I didn't know if that was okay or not. I found that weird.
Oh, it wasn't her dad. It was like a bystander.
No, it was like a random guy, but he also kind of works with her. It was a man. I was eating at a cafe at a gym. The woman was the woman who worked at a reception at a gym, and the man who took the photo works at the cafe at the gym. And it just made me feel a bit like, I didn't think it was great behavior, especially if it's like kind of a coworker.
What is this cafe, gym cafe? Do you like go load up on like protein?
Nah, next to my work to have lunch, there's like a nice place that does healthy salads. It's connected to a gym. I go there. Yeah.
I saw, back to spitting on Trae Young, I saw a crazy ad the other day. I was streaming an NBA game, possibly not through legit avenues. And I was watching the American ads, and an ad came on where it was basically like all these different scenarios where there were people basically sharing, you know, there was like people watching baseball and they're passing the hot dog along and lots of people are handling it.
Yeah.
And then another guy takes a bite of his hot dog and it's like kind of zooming in on like the different people touching the food. And then there's a rock concert where there's people like yelling in each other's faces in the crowd.
Yeah.
And sweat. And
what's the message?
Well, so then... It went through all these things, and then the final one was these businessmen up on the roof of a skyscraper, and one of them drinks from a can of Pepsi, hands it to the other one, and then he drinks from it. And it, the message was basically, here's to the mess we never knew we would miss so much kind of thing. Yeah. It was something like that. It was like those messy moments that you never thought you would miss so much. And then it was like Pepsi. And then this warning had to come up. And be like, but COVID is very much still a thing, so don't.
Also,
you know.
Who are these businessmen who are doing so bad at business?
You don't know about the business world, guy. I tell you, you guys know about the silver screen. I know about business deals. Now, the way you close a deal, pop open that Pepsi and share it around, baby.
Everyone, take a good old lick of the lid. That's disgusting behavior. Jokic is MVP. That's pretty crazy, right? A second round pick, a European guy who looks like he looks terrible, and he's the MVP. It's like not what you'd expect, eh?
Nah, it's good though.
It's real good.
I bet I love it.
It's a real testament. It's like Steph Curry, right? Like, it's crazy when a player who excels at just one end and isn't that good at defense, but their offense is so good that they can drive a team forward. What a season from him.
It was crazy the other day when I was watching the Portland Nuggets series, and it was obviously Jokic and Nurkic, and it just took me back to like 5 years ago when they were both on the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know which one was which.
Yeah.
And
we thought it was controversial that they traded away Nurkic, and you're like, oh man, you're taking a big risk there. Nurkic seems like the better player. It was exactly the same as Monta Ellis versus Steph Curry. It was the same thing where they traded away Monta Ellis, and you're like, oh, big mistake there.
Yeah.
They nailed
Do you guys
it.
Hate Steph Curry? He's not. He's quite hateable now, though.
He's really annoying.
Paul loves him.
I still really like him.
I think it's been a pretty amazing season from him, JT, but I'm looking forward to one of your hot takes. I remember the last podcast we did, which is about 3 months ago now, you were claiming some random white guy whose name I forgot.
Duncan Robinson.
Was the best shooter in the world, and that it now makes sense if you hate Steph Curry.
No, not in the world. Of all time.
Of all time. That's worse. That's more. That's not...
I stand by that.
Yeah, that's. I don't want to get into it again, but you're like an idiot. I got to say that. And Duncan Robinson was terrible. There's like, where was his best shooting
Duncan
in the world?
But Duncan Robinson is a 9 out of 10 shooting, and he's a 0 out of 10 personality,
Everything
right?
Because
he has no personality.
Personality doesn't come in part of it.
Steph Curry might be a 9 out of 10 shooting as well, but he's like a negative 9 personality. His personality is terrible.
I like how you're not even saying Duncan's a great guy. You're just saying he's neutral. And what's wrong with Steph Curry's personality? A bit too Crizzo vibes for you.
Oh no, he's just I don't think like smug vibes are cool when you're not the athletic type.
I thought his brand was like humble and intelligent.
My only complaint
was that too much of a nice guy and too much pretending to be humble when on the court he's quite swaggy and quite arrogant, like dancing around and stuff. But yeah. I think Steph Curry had a pretty amazing season. Like the fact he got 5 first place MVP votes, so it was pretty to get that shit kicker team all the way to almost the playoffs is pretty amazing.
I was ultimately disappointed by the Warriors. I thought
you,
they were
well, didn't
be
you pick
better.
Them? Didn't you pick them to win the chip as well?
Probably, almost definitely.
It sounds like something I'd do.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Did we do preseason? We did some sort of preseason picks, didn't we? Did we record them anywhere?
We would have. Yeah, we should go back in here. Yeah,
and mine will definitely be. I picked the Warriors. I'll say that right now.
Damn, I wish I recorded it somewhere. Hopefully someone did.
Oh, so, we would have recorded. It'll be an episode probably, right?
We record
this
podcast,
I'm not going to waste 40 minutes of my life listening to a weird episode of us.
My big take of the playoffs so far is I can't figure out how teams, mainly the Los Angeles Clippers, a team with 2 great perimeter defenders, I can't figure out how teams struggle so much with teams that are built so clearly around one player. And you think about the number of teams that are one player centric, like you look on offense. I mean, the 76ers have other options, but you look at Embiid, Trae Young, goddamn Luka, Donovan Mitchell. So many teams just like the whole offense is literally one guy, especially when Mike Conley's injured. And yet somehow those one guys are just succeeding all the time.
I mean, if you just put shooters on the court with them, it is hard because it's like, yeah, you can sag right off, but then, like, you know.
But don't you want to see Joe Ingles try and shoot a 3 in the fourth quarter? But no, Donovan Mitchell gets straight line drives to the hoop.
Yeah. Joe Ingles is having one of the best shooting seasons of all time, guy. So watch what you say.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you think it's fine to let these guys, you know, these random Danny Green and stuff, but ultimately, they are really good at shooting.
Yeah, but
I've got
a
theory.
Yeah, you go.
So today I was thinking that I was actually had my hand up before, but then Paul took my point perfectly. So well done, Paul. But I'll summarize how I was going to get to that point. Today I was thinking it's sort of cool how now the NBA is like Street Fighter characters where teams have weird powers that like weird weaknesses and strengths.
Yeah.
And if they get a bad matchup, even though they're way better, it can just be neutralized.
Yeah.
But then I realized that really, it's sort of what Paul said. It doesn't really matter who your star is, just put 4 shooters around them.
Yeah, but like these shooters aren't being tested. It's like Luka Doncic has a bunch of shit kickers. He basically has to score half his team's points. He has to score 50 or they're going to lose to the Clippers. But he does. It's amazing. He's like literally setting playoff records.
But
and you're like,
huge...
why? Just hustle Luka Doncic. I know it's easier said than done. Luka Doncic is an amazing player. Donovan Mitchell is an amazing player, but like I want to see like them put in exposed in the pick and roll every position. I want to see them doubled every time they get the ball. I want to see them hustled by Patrick Beverley every dribble up the court. You know, there is things you can do to.
But if the Clippers had gone small from the start, that series wouldn't have gone 7 games. Hmm. Luka gets so many assists, but he's a good passer. But he's a good passer out of a double team. He's not like getting guys post ups. He's not like a good I'm the biggest Luka defender on the planet, but he is not Chris Paul, right? He's not actually getting guys going. He's just shooting out at passing out of double teams, which is amazing, but it's sort of a different thing.
And he's a lot better passer. It's funny to see the Clippers get done again today because he's a lot better passer than Donovan Mitchell. And Donovan Mitchell didn't even get half forced to make the passes that Luka was making because in the fourth quarter, he was literally just splitting the double team and then going right to the hoop for a layup. And I was like, make him pass. I want to see. I know Bogdanovich is a good shooter, but I want to see him make him hit it in the fourth quarter. They're not testing these lesser players. And yeah, I just find it really interesting how many series are like that. Like even Trae Young torching the Sixers. If the Hawks come into town, they've only got one player. If you affect him, if you get in his head, Herder, yeah, they've got Herder too.
Like 20 points today.
Ever heard of Herder? Well, they lost, didn't they?
Yeah, but.
Because that game, they were like, hey, let's just stop Trae Young and we've got it solved. And New Zealand basketball has it solved. If you don't watch the New Zealand NBL, every team in New Zealand has a guy called like the Hustle Man. And basically the Hustle Man is this like rugby player civilian who is clearly not tall enough to be a basketball player and his only job is to run on in the third quarter and guard the other team's best player, normally an American import, and just basically fight him. He just goes out there and just fights. They call it hustle, but it's actually just called fighting. And you go out there and just get tangled up. And as you see the bullshit between Embiid and Gallinari today, they call a double tech and both players get ejected. And no one cares that the hustle man.
They didn't get ejected, did they?
Oh, well, nah, no, it came pretty close. Embiid probably should have got injected to that. If Gallinari had reacted, and you know, which he should have, because it's like, if Embiid tries to fight you, you fight back.
Gallinari did nothing. That was such bullshit.
It was crazy, right? It was crazy. And Embiid was that close to getting ejected and should have got ejected if there was a bit. If Gallinari made a bigger deal about it and got Embiid out of the game, it could have swung the series.
Did you guys see Embiid mic'd up? Because I'm pretty sure it was after that incident. On the mic'd up, they had him talking to Gallinari.
Yeah.
And it was quite funny. It made me, I do quite like, well, Joel Embiid, I have quite a love. Like, I go through loving him and then hating him. Yeah. But he, because I got annoyed when I saw that clip and I was like, what are you doing? Like, just stay calm in that situation. Like, yeah, it was pretty soft offensive foul, but like, don't run and push him. And then he's like, he says, you flopped down there. And then Gallinari's like, oh, you flopped earlier. And the first time I ever played you, you flopped. And then Embiid's like, oh, did I? Oh, sorry. And it made me really like Embiid. Like he's like quite jokey about it. But anyway,
that's quite funny.
I've got a theory about Embiid.
What? Yep.
I think that he's like one of the few guys, because my most hated archetype of player is like the guy who just the ultra competitive guy, like just the born competitor. I hate that ultra. I hate that archetype.
Oh, isn't that Jimmy Butler your favorite player?
No, yeah, hate
that's
Jimmy
my
Butler.
Favorite player. That's JT's least favorite player.
But I think Joel Embiid might be an actual genuine, like he just loves Philadelphia, just loves to win. Like, and that's why I get so emotional.
Yeah.
But what do you mean?
Of course why.
I would not be like that. I would be like, I've got a meniscus tear. I'm not playing. I don't care about a stupid championship. I'd way rather get another $150 million in 2 years.
Yeah, I disagree.
There's a few players dancing with the devil, eh? When I heard Michael Porter Jr. had an injury, I was like, a back injury, I was like, careful, careful. And Embiid as well just feels like, even if it's a tiny tear, I'm like, he feels like he's dancing with the devil there, eh? I'm nervous.
Hello?
Guys?
Sorry, I thought Paul did a weird back arch, and I was like, oh man, he is winding up for a hot take.
Oh, no,
he's coming like, steaming back in with something.
I was
something.
Trying to click my back on the chair. I've kind of got addicted to clicking my back. It's really bad. Don't start clicking your back.
I don't like clicking anything.
Here's a stat that'll blow your mind. Luka was shooting better from better in the playoffs from three than Steph Curry and worse in the playoffs from the free throw line than Shaquille O'Neal. How crazy is
amazing.
That?
Amazing. Now, going back to Luka, going back to that series.
Yeah, bro.
It is crazy. Like, so going back to my matchup theory, right? The Clippers are the perfect, like the worst possible matchup for the Mavericks. And to your point, like the Mavericks were still competitive and it didn't make any sense. And Luka's stat, like, so I had a look at Luka's long twos. He was shooting like 65% on long contested long twos, like the worst shot you could possibly take. Are the Clippers just bad? Like, is Ty Lue an awful coach?
I think Ty Lue is an awful defensive coach. And even to lose to the Jazz without Mike Conley seems like a really bad loss. When you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, you should have an amazing defense. Yet these perimeter players are just lighting them up for 45 points every game. It's insane.
And their whole bench is like, it's not like they've got a deep bench. Like their seventh and eighth guys are still good perimeter defenders.
It's insane. Yeah.
And the Jazz should have been 20 points up. They were like missing so many wide open threes the first quarter or first half.
Yeah, I'd still probably back the Clippers in the series. I do love watching Kawhi play, but Paul George, man, I don't know. I feel like it's psychological at this point. Like he was such a, I feel like he was an MVP level player when he was at the Pacers, and now he just is, he's the opposite. I mean, the Joker's playoff P, right? He just seems like a choker in the crowd.
It's his face though. Sophia, my wife, made a good point today. His normal face is just so sourpuss.
Yeah.
He always just looks like he's whining.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't look like he's enjoying himself playing basketball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nah.
I'll tell you who I've been enjoying, though. A guy I've always hated because I'm like, you've got to sort that hair out. And maybe it's racist of me to say that. I'm sorry if it is. But Trae Young, like him taunting the Knicks fans and getting spat on and laughing at them and stuff and like asking for more and just like even winning a game against the 76ers, a team that should be just steamrolling them. I'm like genuinely blown away by his skill and his play. Like it's been really impressive. I've never had any faith in that guy and he's really won me over.
The Hawks, I feel like, are pretty stacked now.
Yeah, but not compared to like this. They'd be one of the weakest teams still in the out of the eight that are left, right? Like, yeah, they're good compared to the Knicks, but they're not good compared to
the Hawks. The Hawks and the Suns had the best record after All Star break. I'll just have you know that.
Yeah, you keep on busting out that stat, but is it because every other team after All Star break like rests up for the playoffs? And
They just had a bad schedule at the first half.
Okay.
Now, I don't think you are being racist about Trae Young's hair because I think it is just bad. But there are some good books about the history of African hair you might want to read and just educate yourself.
But I think it's more that he's like balding, right?
Yeah, shave it. Like it's like, a common haircut it's like, to have short hair.
He's kind of got Evan Fournier syndrome where he's like, instead of shaving it, he's actually trying to grow it out to hide the baldingness. And
he's got the look like he's super glued. Some sort of fibrous wool on the top of his head.
But has anyone else been just charmed by him, though? He just seems like an awesome guy.
Nothing. So I saw the video. So I didn't watch the game where they iced the Knicks out. And also for all the pod fans out there, go back and listen to me saying the Knicks would not win a series in the playoffs. I said that. But anyway, so the Hawks didn't see them. Hawks iced him out. And I saw a video of him doing a bow. And I was like, oh, that bow's pretty cool that he like did a bow.
Yeah.
But then it's even better when you watch a video from another angle because all the New York Knicks, the fans, do a standing ovation to the Knicks for a good season, and that's what Trae Young's like responding to when he starts bowing. That's like unbelievable level villainry.
And afterwards, his quote was that he knew where he was and that he was in Broadway where all the shows are. So he had to put on a show.
He nailed it. He bloody nailed it.
I'd like people to listen back to the year Trae Young was drafted and listen to me saying that he was going to be great because it wasn't a given thing. A lot of people said bust.
Well, it's crazy to see those three players as well. Like, because even that guy for the Suns is doing a decent job, even though he shouldn't have been picked above Trae Young or Doncic. He's playing all right.
Ayton,
but then they just. Man, you got a feel for the Kings. I mean, it's their own fault, but that guy they picked and oh god,
Marvin Swagley,
grim. Anyone else? What are the other things that people have observed? We haven't done a podcast in 2 months. You guys must be begging to say some shit.
Well, should we go into a Magic Mayhem? I haven't prepared anything, but we could have a good discussion.
Yeah. And I've got some input to Magic Mayhem.
The Magic aren't even in the playoffs.
I've got two great inputs to Magic Mayhem, so I support it.
Yeah, there's been some big news recently.
Okay, we've got to hear some big news. It's time, right about that time, for the Stars to roll on out.
Beyond Ball! Sit down. I used to be jealous of Marina Filo.
We're taking every game personal.
Sit down.
This is Chumo Kiki, and you're listening to Magic Mayhem with Paul Williams.
Steve Clifford and the Orlando Magic have parted ways mutually, and the Magic are without a coach.
I don't think they parted ways mutually. I think Steve Clifford said, I've had enough of this shit and left.
And the Magic said, we agree and we accept your resignation. It's mutual. Okay. It's really sad, and I was not the only Magic fan to be sad about it, because he's been great. Honestly, he's changed. He's turned around the culture of the team. I think it also started right at the top with the GMs. But he's really turned around the team. He really fixed defense.
I can't believe you interrupted the most exciting NBA playoffs of all time to talk about Steve Clifford resigning from the Orlando Magic.
No, I support it.
But now the most desirable seat in the league is vacant, the throne.
Everyone, that's why Brad Stevens stepped away from coaching the Celtics, not to take over the job, but he just wants to get that Magic job. He wants to get down there.
Maybe that's Orlando. Why Jason Kidd said no to Portland as well. Oh, they're all lining up that Magic seat.
Yeah.
They're like so convenient to Universal Studios, SeaWorld, and Disneyland.
Sure,
I'll pass on that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Clifford winds up in Portland. Because obviously Portland's issue is defense, right? Like they kind of suck at defense.
But I mean, that's because they're built around two tiny guards who can't play D, though, right?
Yeah, but get Steve Clifford there. Like all he knows is defense.
Can we briefly talk about Dame Lillard doing that game where he hit two insane threes to go into overtime twice, but still lost? But shit, Dame Lillard, man, he puts on a show. What a showman. Sorry.
Yeah, it turns out he's quite good. So just go, I think you just interrupted Magic Mayhem, though. Can I come in with my
sorry
mayhem?
Sorry for injecting some excitement into the podcast. Continue.
Because I've got some mayhem to add.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, all of us, it's so crazy. So here's my couple of mayhems for you. Paul, one, there is some really good Magic starter jackets on eBay right now. Just that's fair.
Oh, wow.
Thought.
Okay, thank you.
And now, secondly, it's crazy. About the All-Star break, or just before the trade deadline, I watched a game and Aaron Gordon was not good at all. Right. And I watched him recently in these playoffs and he's really good. What happened, Paul?
I mean, that's classic Aaron Gordon, really, to a T.
There'll be games. Wasn't doing that with the Magic, Paul.
No, for the Magic, there would be games where you're like, the guy's the best player in the league, and there'd be games for the Magic where you think this guy is the worst player in the league.
But what was the proportions of those games? Was it like 99% worst player in the league? Because I haven't had the Aaron Gordon experience where I thought he's the best player in the league.
I mean, there'd be a lot of times where he'd just be fine as well. But it's just
Paul also thought DJ Augustine was the best point guard in the league for a bit. So, I mean,
he was.
There's a thing, JT, that happens when a player leaves the Orlando Magic. they all of a sudden learn how to play basketball. And there's a real trend there of people leaving the Orlando Magic and just thriving.
When
should we
did
look
DJ,
at some recent
wait,
examples?
But when did DJ end up with the Rockets? That's gutting. He should be chasing a ring this year. I thought he was
with
on the Bucks.
Orlando Magic next year when they're going for a ring.
DJ's chasing the veterans minimum every year, I think, Paul.
Good Magic highlight I saw is when they, you know how the Celtics, a few teams have these novelty guys who are just like comedy players because they're like 8 foot tall. And I mean, garbage time, the Celtics subbed on their comedy player whose name is Taco Fall. And he came on and did the slowest move of all time and destroyed Mo Bamba for a meme highlight. And I was like, that's pure magic right there.
Mo is going to explode. Back. Watch next year. Mo is going to explode.
Speaking of novelty players, the Blazers have a player on their bench who's Damian Lillard's cousin. And his name is Caljan Belvins.
No.
Surely you're not saying that right.
Belvins. Oh, look it up. Caljan. K-E-L-J-I-N, Caljan Belvins. B-E-B-L-E-V-I-N-S.
Are you alleging it's an Antetokounmpo situation?
It's his cousin. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Caljan Belvins. Surely it's Belvins.
Belvins. Caljan Belvins.
I'm going to weigh on this.
The L comes before the E. Caljan Belvins.
That's no better. That's like worse. Caljan Belvins.
It's Belvins.
Caljan Belvins.
Still bad.
It's a standard name. Blivins. I mean, he's never going to be an all-star.
with a name like that.
Take it back. I think he could be.
Caljan Blivens.
Here comes Caljan.
It's kind of rural Drura vibes. We'd like to welcome our new player, Caljan Blivens.
How many brothers does Antetokounmpo have on the team?
He's only got Thanis.
Only one, disappointing. Another brother plays for the Lakers. It's quite funny.
But speaking of sending in a guy to try and, like, they sent in him the other day to try and get Blake Griffin, like, suspended, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, nothing time, and then he went in and, like, drew a few offensive fouls on Blake Griffin and got him real angry to the point where he got a tech, I think.
You even mentioning Blake Griffin made me angry. How can Giannis not score one-on-one against broken down, over the hill, Blake Griffin, who wasn't even good, even in his athletic prime, wasn't a good defender.
It's very crazy.
It's crazy. And like, it's just embarrassment to the, he was back-to-back MVP. Did Hakeem Olajuwon win back-to-back MVPs? Like, it's just outrageous. Every year, the Bucks, the year they did it to the Raptors beat them, I was like, that's funny because I support the Raptors. The next year, I was like, this is kind of sad. Now, third year in a row, I'm like, this is just like...
They're going to turn it around. They're going to win two back home.
I was rooting for them. I really was.
I'm rooting for them.
Harden's
hard as
injured.
Well.
They've only got two players. I mean, KD is amazing to that. But again, triple team KD and let the other F-wits try and beat you.
Yeah, but again, to Paul's point, the Nets just did this, like, the Nets just did the obvious thing, right? Just everyone else can shoot threes. Just make everyone else shoot threes and then it's game over.
But let's see them shoot threes. Let's see a 30-point game from Joe Harris. Let's see.
I think you
Kyrie
would see
is
that.
Famously shaky. Like, they put all the weight on Kyrie and let's see him self-destruct like he did with the Celtics, you know? Like, that's why they're throwing a bottle at him, because he's flaky as shit. And
you know what
I'm saying?
Well, I was thinking about the other day, which was one of the coolest things ever, when the Jazz were playing the Rockets and they started defending James Harden by standing on the wrong side of him. Man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
It almost worked.
It did work.
But they lost the series.
No, they did lose. But it did change the vibe. It was awesome. I love that.
Guys, what was that cool stat I gave you about KD? I want to really chime in on that now.
It's like he was being really well marked.
90% of his shots are with hand in his face, but he's shooting like 60-something percent of them.
90% of Kevin Durant's threes as players have been contested. That's the highest among all players, and he's shooting 50%. So that's like, if you've got a guy, I'm sure you could maybe double him, but that's the definition of unguardable, right? Mm.
Yeah.
He's just so tall. That even if you're marking him,
Why do the commentators still pretend that he's 6'10"? I thought we'd stopped doing that like years ago.
Well, how tall is he? 7 foot? You're saying
he's 7 foot easy. He did a tip. He did a jump ball with Lopez, and the commentators were like, "Oh, this is a bit of a miss." You know, KD's coming in at a cool 6'10", and Lopez is 7'1", and KD's like standing above his hair. His headline is clearly above Lopez's.
KD has got to be probably the greatest offensive player of all time. And it's just kind of a shame way he's effed up his own. What were you going to say, Paul?
Well, isn't that just what JT said earlier today?
I wasn't going to out him, Paul. I was not going to out Guy on
but
the,
that's not,
the
that's
podcast.
Not, that's not JT's hot take. If you want JT's hot take, I'm not going to repeat that white guy for the Heat is the greatest shooter of all time.
You know who the Bucks need?
Who?
Because what you need is a tall guy who's great at defense. Jonathan Isaac is actually 3 centimeters taller than Kevin Durant.
He's available.
They Giannis haven't got a tall guy who's great.
Well. Yeah, Giannis. Yeah.
But does Giannis mark him?
Sometimes.
Yes.
He gets destroyed.
He gets absolutely destroyed
but
by
him. The thing about KD is he's also an incredibly good dribbler and he can blow by anyone to dunk it as well. He's insane.
I'm getting annoyed by how often it seems like the guy renowned for defense isn't marking the other teams. Watching the Sixers, and it seems like so often Ben Simmons is just standing in the corner on defense defending some 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
And it's like, surely, like, obviously they've got like other defensive specialists. They got Thibault out there. But like Ben Simmons, your whole thing is meant to be like, okay, you can't shoot. You can't really score points.
Yeah. You're meant to be like
that's your main thing.
But he, meant to be
I thought he did.
Card.
I thought he, like, Trae Young had a lesser game, and I thought he blocked one of his threes.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah, but doesn't he just do? Hey, but Ben, like, now I'm the biggest Ben Simmons hater on the planet, so I see everything against him. But I've been very torn about whether he's a good defender. Well, he's obviously a good defender, but whether he's elite or not. But my feeling, he's almost like he's like the slap the court guy. Like he usually takes the big defensive positions.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that make highlights, but it's Thybul that does all the hard work on the perimeter, like 95% of the game.
Yeah.
Well, you brought me.
I love Thybul, man.
Same.
I don't know how to pronounce
so
his
good
name,
looking.
So good looking, charismatic. I love that he can only really play defense, I think.
Do you reckon there's a club, Paul, like there's a secret society? So say you go in the NBA and you're like Thybul and you like hit a few threes, you're the man on defense, and then at like midnight one night you get a knock on the door and it's Robert Covington. He's like, come with me. And he takes you down to some sort of like cave in the woods, and it's just like the 3-and-D club.
Yeah.
And you've got to swear an oath to only be good at those two things your whole career.
Yeah, man. Those are my favorite guys in that club.
Definitely.
Can I bring another thing that's firing me up? I'm rewinding a little bit here, but first round, Ja Morant, like the Utah Jazz are the hot favorites. Ja Morant is an exciting young player who we're all excited to see. It's crazy that his family, I just can't root for Utah. They're a lovable team. Donovan Mitchell is such a great player to watch. What a show he put on today. But that crowd and like their constant every year racism scandals are something that I just can't believe. Anyone else been shocked by that?
I kind of missed that story. But...
Okay. So Ja Morant's family was these are good seats as well. And I was talking to a friend who's a person of color, and he was like, yeah, those are the racist people, like the rich people down in the lower bowl. And he's there, and you know, obviously his sons have got him good seats and stuff like that down near the court. And his mum and his sister and his dad were yelling support for him and stuff like that. And they yelled racial insults at his mum, like sexual insults, calling her a B word and stuff like that. And one of the comments apparently said by fans was someone said, I'll put a nickel in your back and watch you dance, boy. Like, this is insane. This is like movie villain level insanity from the Utah fans. This happens every year, and it's just like insane that it's still going. I've never hit anyone or been in a fight in my life, but if I was that dad and stuff like that, I'd be punching people. Like, it's crazy that this exists. I just can't believe it, and I just can't believe that Utah doesn't face more punishments. Like, they don't have to play get in soccer. If you yell racial insults at the players, you have to play games behind closed doors without fans. And like, how come Utah, who get into a tussle with Russell Westbrook every year, don't have to face the same consequence? You know, it's crazy.
I agree. I thought the same guy. Like, why don't they should if that happens and a player alleges it or their family, then they should be banned from taking gate like selling tickets for two games.
It's just so crazy. Like, I just couldn't even believe what the insults I was reading as well. Like, these are not things like classic. When I think of racism, I think of like calling them thugs or something like that. This is like leveled shit where it's like old school. Like, yeah, it's so interesting. It was like it's like something out of a Quentin Tarantino movie. Like, it's bizarre.
The Jazz are like quite a fucked up organization though. Even like today, all the Karl Malone stuff. Like, sure, Karl Malone's a legend of your club. But you don't need to have the commentators go on and on about how he's like so likable. He's a fucking creep.
He's a well-known like
he's
rapist,
the worst.
Right?
Yeah, a statutory rapist.
Yeah,
who then denied the existence of his twin children, even though those twin children then went on like to Div 1 and then NFL athletes, and he was just like.
Yeah.
To his credit.
No, I'm saying, okay, this is bad. This is one of my worst cat takes. But if you're going to abandon your children, you can't jump back in when they become successful NCAA players.
But they wanted him. They were like,
oh, that's sad.
So people were interviewing him, and this guy who was like the kid, the son, was like, oh, yeah, I've wanted him in my life, but he basically told me, I'm 18, what's he going to teach me?
Fucking hell.
Man. Yeah.
The only reason they tried to make it to the NBA was so they might meet him in a game. In the NBA.
That's so grim. In the Jazz organization's defense, they helped out Ja Morant's family and like put them up in hotels and gave them good tickets to the next game. Okay, if you've just been abused racially at a game,
want to come
the
back?
Last thing you want is like more tickets to the same shit show. But like, still, like, it's like...
That's like when Guy...
Every year from the Jazz. Yeah, we'll tell the story. The pizza.
Oh, yeah. Once Guy ordered a pizza from Hell's Pizza for us to eat, me and him.
Yum.
And it arrived... And I've just never seen a pizza look worse. Like, basically, so it was the pandemonium, for those of you who know Hell's Pizza. It's a chicken, cranberry, and brie pizza. Delicious. Basically, all the toppings had slipped off and were balled up on the side of the box. And then there was just a blank pizza base.
And it was funny. I was like, it's bad because I was looking forward to the pizza, but funny because I was going to get a lot of likes on this Instagram post.
Yes, and ultimately we didn't really care because you could just scrape the cheese back on and it tastes the same. But Guy did take a photo and just put it and just with the caption, I think it was nailed it. And and didn't say like where it was from or anything. And then the owner of that Hell's Pizza messaged him really quickly. And
which is
like,
unprofessional because my number is supposed to be confidential. Like you can't just send me messages.
What, text messaged you?
He just texted me, yeah.
Yes.
Shocking.
So he texted Guy with the number he had sourced from the order and was like, hey, I'd love if you could take that down. Really sorry about the pizza looking like that. But just, I know you didn't say where it was from, but people can tell from the toppings that it's a Hell Pizza. I'd love if you could take that down. And Guy was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I felt bad.
Of course, I'll take it down. Deleted it. And then to say thank you, the guy sent a voucher for one pizza.
shitty voucher.
Which is the bare minimum. Like, you should get that when your pizza looks like
that anyway.
Yes, you get that anyway. Okay, then... Like a week later, like the next weekend, we renew the voucher and order the same pizza. No joke, it shows up and possibly looks worse. And I was like, please, you got to do it again.
You got to post again.
You got to post
like a cycle.
Again.
Yeah.
And, but Guy didn't. But it was very funny.
Did the guy text back and be like, look, my name's Junior Carl Malone. Okay, I'll Junior Malone. I only started this pizza business.
To meet my dad. Oh, fuck, it's sad.
Hey, the burger company Carl's Jr.
Hey, just going back to the players for a second. You guys, I've been savoring. I don't want to get to the Suns because I want to savor that. But I just want to talk just one more. I want to ask you a question. You guys have both played more basketball than I have.
Not a lot, though. I like how we're experts, but yeah, continue.
I would say you're an expert compared to me on played amount of basketball played.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, continue.
So here's a question that's just a pure armchair critic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, do I have a beautiful mid-range game? Yes. Have I coached a game? No. But if I was to coach and I was playing let's say my team was the Milwaukee Bucks and I was playing the Brooklyn Nets, is it a good idea to go some sort of 2-3 zone and give them the 3-pointer? So
I get it. You're doing a joke.
Why does Budenholzer do it?
Yeah, it's insane, eh?
Is he an idiot?
Yeah, kinda. It seems like every year he's like just gets absolutely found out in the playoffs. Like he seems to nail it in the regular season, finishes the one seed, and then
Paul, you've got to talk near the microphone.
Sorry,
mate.
This cat I'm babysitting has started attacking all my possessions. But yeah, Budenholzer, he gets found out in the playoff series because like teams watch tape and they're like,
but it's not even found out by like, doesn't take any effort to find him out.
No. In that situation, they just are shooting open threes.
Why does he look so like, he looks like so like sort of like a happy idiot the whole time.
He's
like he should
ugly,
be concerned, but he's got that weird American, Alex Jones. No, I don't want to body shame. I shouldn't say this.
Body shame.
He's got that red
you
Alex
Jones.
You can't
walk around with that body and he's not expect a little bit of shame.
He's got that Alex Jones barrel chest where his nipples are real far to each side.
Why is he wearing men have had an item of clothing designed for us that anyone looks good in? It's called a suit. I don't know how it works, but anyone can put it on. You look slimmer. You look better. It works for everyone. You can choose colors that suit you. The NBA COVID, the worst effect of COVID, I'm going to say it right now. It's not the millions of people who died. It's the NBA coaches stopped wearing suits and started wearing weird long sleeve purple zip up running shirts.
The lack of suits. It's not the lack of suits. It's the adoption of the skin tight polo.
The skin tight. Why is it skin tight? Get a hoodie.
Doc Rivers' condition has gone rapidly downhill. He looks shocking, but he hides it by wearing a little hoodie.
It's genius. That's genius. But my big question was, because I watched the first round and the Bucks were just beating the shit out of the Heat, and they were having a big party and doing a little dance, and they made all these funny memes, which are going to backfire on them badly when they get swept by the Nets. But I was saying, why does no one like the Bucks? They're from a small, weird town with quite a proud history, like the Bucks, you know, is where Kareem started his career, as Lou Ankledador, whatever his name was. Sorry, I can't pronounce that last name. It's a cool basketball town, kind of. Again, another racist town, I guess. But they've built their team the right way with like these crazy draft picks and crazy trades and stuff. They got Drew Holiday, one of the most likable players in the NBA, and then you see them in the playoffs, and you immediately go, "Oh, that's why they're just." They're just not smart. I don't. It's just hard to say, but they just choke every goddamn year. I will say
it is weird how I don't really like. I should love them so much.
Yeah,
and it's weird that I don't.
Giannis, they got a likable, weird European star. Like everything about them should be in the right direction, and I'm still rooting for them. And I still like, man, if they get game three, anything's possible. But To be getting hammered by the Nets that don't even have Harden is pretty crazy. Pretty, pretty crazy.
I think they'll bounce back. I hope they do.
Man, I thought I have one real confession here. I was still like someone that was believing the hype that if you can't defend, you won't win a championship.
Yeah.
But the Nets are so good. Like, I just don't see how – if they were playing the Hawks a series, they'd be averaging 150 points a game.
Yeah. They're defending okay, though. Like, KD is a promising defender. They've got a couple of dudes out there. Joe Harris is scrappy white guy, you know, like –
But again, if you coach Bud, just dump it in. If you're going to play Lopez 40 minutes a game, just give him the ball in the post. It's crazy.
But then you've got no space for Giannis to drive in and lose the ball and throw it into the air.
That's what he's got to do. A real coach would basically be like, bench Giannis. Or just play Giannis in like the Ben Simmons dunker spot. He can't shoot. Get him out of there.
But also, like, there's got to be a way to use Giannis. Well, I don't know. Why don't you set some back screens and try and throw him a lob?
The way to use him is put him in the dunker spot where they hide DiVincenzo.
Yeah, it's tragic to watch. But that was another weird thing about this playoffs, everyone being injured. Like, it's just crazy. If you look at AD, Jamal Murray, Joel Embiid, I thought he was out, but he's come back. Harden's looking bad. Jaylen Brown, like, it's been a bad season. CP3 was injured. LeBron James was injured. Like, it's
kind of crazy. How is Chris Paul playing? His shoulder was the craziest bruising I've ever seen. He's not. That's not okay. But then that game, first game of this with the Nuggets series, some of the most vintage basketball. Can we talk about this? Okay, you guys ready to eat crow?
Time to eat crow.
There's a new segment. It's called Crow Corner. And I want to see feathers coming out of both your mouths about Devin Booker.
Okay.
He is ascendant.
What did we say?
You guys have been Booker bashers for the whole time I've been doing this podcast.
I admit that I have been. I hate Booker, and I will continue to hate him.
I'd like to say that I hated that he wouldn't choose the Suns on 2K.
No, that was a good move. I liked him more for that. Funny. It's funny.
Yeah, Paul hated him for non-basketball reasons.
Nah, Paul hated him for basketball reasons too. Don't shimmy out of this. You've already shimmied out of here.
No, because you put in the chat, so I actually screenshot a comment I wrote about Booker.
What? How long ago though?
3 years ago.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, you went back 3 years. Are you joking?
I haven't done that many comments.
Released a shot.
Okay. Who is the thread was by Jerry Perry 3 years ago. Who is going to be the best player of the league five years from now?
Who's Jerry Perry?
Oh, well, some user online on the forums.
Oh, is this NBA Reddit?
I wasn't going to say which forum.
Okay.
But they said, who is going to be the best player of the league 5 years from now? And this was my comment 3 years ago. Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo, Phoenix's Devin Booker, Utah's Donovan Mitchell, Orlando's Trae Young, Sacramento's DeAndre Ayton.
Wow.
So obviously it was before the Trae Young, DeAndre Ayton draft. But I thought Trae would fall to Orlando, and I thought DeAndre Ayton wouldn't go first, but would go third.
Wow, not far off. Ayton's up. Ayton's also right up there.
Paul's hated, Paul, you can't get out of this. You've hated him as well.
No, but
I still don't rate him.
No, but also he's like the fourth best player on the Suns, let's be real.
No. He's not the fourth best player. He's the first or second best player. I love the prompt Paul's having with his cat. It's hilarious. In Paul's screen, he's just constantly in a fight with a tiny
Do you guys
cat.
I truly believe the Suns could go all the way.
Yeah, I do.
This is this year's Heat. Okay, last year JT got bigger on the Heat, and then Paul got in there too, and the Heat somehow matched the final.
I can't
and
believe
the NBA. And then now the Suns are going to do that again.
I can't believe JT's comment earlier about not liking guys whose main thing is that they're super competitive. When I would say that's different, Chris Paul is the main guy I think of for that.
Yeah, but Chris Paul's more so I'm not competitive. So let's put it this way. I would never do anything that's going to, just to benefit the team, that's going to disproportionately disbenefit my earnings, right? So I don't really care about the team that much. But what I like about Chris Paul is if we're playing a board game,
JT, what you're saying here is insane. You're saying if you were in the NBA, you wouldn't care about the team, you'd just care about your career earnings.
That's no, to a degree. A championship isn't worth that much to me. I don't really – a team would trade me in an instant if I wasn't good. You got to be out for yourself, number one. But and what I like about Chris Paul is he plays every game like I play board games. I will cheat unless you – it's on you to catch me. I am going to cheat. And that's what I respect about
him. I'm glad I don't play board games with you for a start. Second of all, this is insane. If you're an NBA player – and you're an athlete, you wouldn't I understand you want to get paid, but winning a championship, becoming a legend who's known for years to come is Bill Russell didn't earn great money in his career because of the year he's born in, but
what would you honestly rather? A chance at a championship, not even guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say Joel Embiid has Andrew Bynum, fucks his knee and plays maybe one more year, never plays again, right?
Yeah.
He's potentially cost himself $150 million. Are you honestly telling me you'd rather a championship than $150 million? Because it does not come close to me.
That's a tricky scenario, but I'll tell you this. I would rather be Bill Russell, who had career earnings of probably $1 million, probably good for his time, but nothing compared to than being who's a guy who earned heaps of money but didn't do anything? Anton Walker.
My theory is always if you've got $10 million, it's
you've made it.
Yeah, it's what do you need the other millions for?
Just buy a house on the beach and be happy.
Yeah.
I mean,
invest one of the millions and then...
One day, Paul, you'll get on the hedonic treadmill and you always want more. But JT, I like your honesty, JT, because I mean, maybe secretly we'd all be like that. But I would take the chance to be a legend and poor rather than be a millionaire and a nobody.
Here's an interesting, if you could have one NBA career, that was your own.
Yeah.
Whose career would you take?
Give us the options.
No, you can choose.
Or Michael Jordan.
Yeah, for me, Michael Jordan. The shoe JT, brand.
Three
Space
for Michael
Jam.
Jordan.
Sure. I was really giving it some thought. I was trying to go more realistic.
No. Okay, so you can't take Michael Jordan.
Okay, well, LeBron James.
You can't take... I wouldn't want
brand.
LeBron.
I know, because you hate LeBron.
I wouldn't want LeBron. I was actually going to go John LeBron. Stockton. Even I think John Stockton's perfect. No one recognizes him. He's got records that the Jazz will never get broken.
Yeah.
I think that's a great career.
Yeah. Right.
What about Dirk, where you win one championship as well?
But Dirk's sort of an idiot, isn't he? Didn't he get duped by some scammer?
Oh no, he did get scammed. So did Tim Duncan. But that doesn't mean they're an idiot, it just means he's a financial idiot. But
he got scammed by he got catfished, but in real life.
Dirk did.
Yeah,
he's a victim. Don't victim blame him.
Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't. Sorry, Dirk.
But also, I reckon that bit doesn't have to transfer over if you take their career.
You don't have to get catfished.
Oh, right. You have to take their personal life.
No.
You're someone picks Ray Allen. You're didn't Ray Allen crash his car in 2016? You don't have to take the crash car bit. You can just take the
like if you're taking Chris Bosh, you can skip the like blood clot.
If Jamal Crawford one more contract, I would have taken his career.
No, the career. Well, you aim bigger though. I'd take Magic Johnson.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, the AIDS. No, not except for the AIDS. I didn't mean to say the AIDS, but like he's fine from AIDS.
For me,
yeah, but he had multiple years cut short though.
But like, what a career he had! Like, what a career, and he's in Los Angeles. Showtime.
For me, Adam Morrison, be a giant of the college game. Go just to the NBA, get to Hollywood, and
be exposed.
Win a chip, and then get out, and then go back to school, become an assistant or something on the team.
Isn't he one of those weird like survivalists?
Possibly.
So all that's going through my decision making here is what record do I think is the hardest to break? If we're not allowed to be like Wilt or. I guess you didn't rule out Magic Johnson, but I think Jamal Crawford's multiple 50-point games and Six Man of the Year awards are going to be hard to break.
Oh, we'll see. What?
Crawford's got the most 50 points for different teams.
Six Man
That's going
of
be
the
crazy
Year
hard
is
to
one
break.
Of the shittest awards.
But it's
now,
the record.
Yeah, but also like playing for lots of teams is
not
necessarily
great.
A
yeah,
good sign.
But playing for multiple teams and scoring 50 points for multiple teams is a crazy hard record.
Yeah, but like
yeah, it's hard, but I still don't know if it's good.
Yeah, this is
it's definitely good. Is scoring 50 points good or bad?
So imagine doing it lots of times in different places.
Actually, I mean, I don't know how good it. Like,
Paul, imagine being in Chicago and scoring 50 points, and then going to Los Angeles and scoring 50 points, and then going to Utah and scoring 50 points. In each of those places, you get different after party, different friends, different house.
I'd like to see like the winning record of when he scores 50 points.
I guarantee you they were all wins.
You're an insane person.
$100 on the line that they're all wins.
Okay, next episode. Do I have to put anything on the bet?
Yeah, you have to. That's the same wager for both.
And you're saying 100... You're saying
I will put $100 okay, should we
How many times has he done it?
I believe 4.
Okay, that's not as many as I thought.
Are you buying yourself time to look up the results?
Also, the way people score, like guys like Mitchell and Luca are scoring like 50 points in the goddamn playoffs. Like the way
same team though. Boring. 50
point games mean nothing now. Like it's like scoring records and stuff. I'm sick of like didn't they just say Donovan Mitchell already has more playoff scoring records than rapist Karl Malone? And Karl Malone is probably one of the greatest offensive players of all time. But like, just because of the different eras, Mitchell like scoring 40 points now is like he almost has to do. He has to score 40 points every game for them to beat the Clippers. Probably, you know, like it's just what they do now is score 40, 50 points. I reckon KD probably could score 50 every game if he went for it, but instead, like, there's this weird thing with like him and I don't know, Clay Thompson had a quote about this week where players care so much about it's awesome they care about efficiency, but I kind of want to see KD go out there and just try and score 70 every game. I don't like how he's like just like constantly looking at his shooting splits, you know.
So I was wondering that the other day about if do you think like there's any players out like in the league right now that are like fuck I could have a crack at not Wilt. Obviously, but Kobe's like Devin Booker must think he could have a shot at it.
Defo, oh, heaps of players could. I think KD, like at the pace they play it now, I would be shocked if someone doesn't score 80 points in the next. You know, I guess it is an insane amount, and you've got a gun harder than everyone's gunned. But haven't Clay and Steph like hit 60 and then like subbed out in the fourth quarter? Like, I'm sure some people have put up some pretty crazy numbers and then just pulled their. You've got the only thing that sets Kobe apart is that like A, his team was so shit that they even though he scored 80 points he still had to play the game, and B, you know, he just has that mentality of like I'm gonna do this thing and I'm gonna be the hero kind of thing.
I feel like I've often shouted out the website Tankathon, and recently I've kind of found myself more and more going to this website that I'd like to shout out called StatMuse.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's been on it, but basically you can search anything and it'll come up with this weird cartoon drawing of the player. But anyway, I've looked up, I just searched Jamal Crawford 50-point games winning percentage, and I should have taken the bet. He won three out of the four games, 75%. But what is impressive is, so here's his stats over the four games where he scored 50 plus, and his plus minus, plus 49.
Nice.
Pretty, not bad.
Pretty bloody good. before we go, Paul, you love hating on LeBron. We've got to talk about the way that LeBron went out, because I get it, he was injured, and I get it, AD was gone, and I get it, a lot of his
teammates... Wait, how was LeBron injured?
His ankle. I think his ankle was injured the whole time.
He wasn't moving great. He wasn't moving like he should be. But that's the point. Is that like he didn't just go out like, you know, with some like slightly average games. He went out like pouting. He was walking off the court early. He was not running back on defense.
He Westbrooked
it.
He was not running forward on offense.
Westbrook.
I couldn't believe it, for a guy who has such a polished public image generally. He just seemed like an absolute dick.
Okay, let me paint your picture. Let me paint your picture. You've gone away on holiday to some sort of weekend away, right?
You don't really have
any mates there that you like, and
some sort of location, because I'm flipping between a tropical holiday and like a ski resort.
You're over in Waiheke.
Oh,
let's say you guys are going on a writer's workshop in Waiheke. Okay.
Okay.
You're writing some like skits or whatever it is you guys do. So then, and you're over there, and you've got everyone sucks. They're really honestly awful people.
Yeah.
And all of them suck at skit writing except one other guy. And you're like, man, all these people suck, but at least there's one other good skit writer.
Yeah.
I can make the most of this.
Yeah.
And by the way, you are the best skit writer of all time.
Yeah.
You do not need to write any more skits. You are the best.
We're the Michael Jordan of skit writing.
No, you're better than Michael Jordan. You're like the one level up of Michael skit writing. But anyway, whatever. Yeah, fine. And so then you're like, man, I want to keep writing skits because there's these weird people on the internet that still say I'm not as good at skit writing as this guy that I'm way better at. But so I'm going to keep writing skits. That's my only purpose, even though I don't really need to.
Yeah.
So you're away on this retreat. And then the one other good skit writing guy who's got an awful personality as well. He sucks, but he is good at writing skits. Not as good as you. But he's like, oh, I'm sick. And this guy's always sick as well. Every year he does this.
Is this before, in the skit writing process, is this before we've cracked open the one can of Pepsi and shared it around, or after?
Nah, you do that after you write the great skit.
Okay.
Yeah, the Pepsi is there.
Can we buy a multi-pack of Pepsi, or is it just
one?
No, it's one Pepsi.
Again,
have you never written a skit, mate?
Yeah, you're revealing yourself as not knowing anything about business or skits. So it's just shocking given our line of profession, actually. You should probably brush up on both those. So anyway, so you're at this retreat. The second guy's like, oh, I'm sick. I can't write skits. You look around the room and you see Kyle Kuzma, the Kyle Kuzma of skit writing, the Andre Drummond of skit writing.
Who is Andre Drummond?
Yeah, exactly. He's there. They think they are good at skit writing, and they're not. And they're honestly the worst people. What would your attitude be?
I would
leave. Waiheke.
My attitude would be: I'm a leader, and you've got to lead by example. And like he just, and
but you
also
know you're not
cameras,
writing a skit.
If there was
you're not coming out of it with a skit.
If there was cameras filming me writing the skit, I'd be aware of how I looked, and then when I got into the changing room, I would slap them in the face. But don't do it like a baby on TV. Like this is. And apparently he's got a long history of doing this. I didn't realize it because I always think of LeBron as so together. Like I'm amazed at, for a guy who's had a camera in his face for so long, I'm amazed at how perfect his career's been. And it just seemed like really weird behavior from him. Yeah, it was crazy.
Strong disagree. Loved it.
It's my sister does that when we play board games. Second she realizes she's not going to win, she ups and leaves. And
also, LeBron's teammates weren't that bad. Like, Kuzma's shit.
Yeah, last season they were too good.
So I think it's his injury. Like, I'm not defending the I agree with you guy, but I think his injury was worse than disclosed.
It was the same
with Westbrook, where the commentators were trying to, they were like he's injured or he's sick or he's going through some personal stuff, but something's not right, and it's like. Well, it sounds like you can't say all three things. Like, you either know or you're just taking stabs in the dark.
Old Westbrook, that's a can of worms for another day, right? JT, you loved the finish of Westbrook. You thought
Shit,
you redeemed himself.
So good. Playoffs, baby.
Congratulations to him. I reckon that's probably everything. I think we've been away for 2 months.
but we've somehow managed
We didn't. So we're still technically in Magic Mayhem because we didn't leave it.
Yeah. Okay.
who are guys picking for the next Magic head coaching job? It's what everyone's talking about.
I think they might give Patrick Ewing a go.
Wow. Okay.
Magic legend. He played for them for
yes,
like a
and he was in the front office.
Nothing
sadder. I think he's coming home.
Patrick Ewing wearing a sparkly Magic uniform.
Penny Hardaway was asked about it, but he said he was happy in his college.
He said he'd rather coach a shitty college team than coach the Atlanta Magic. That's bad.
No, he didn't say that. I'm currently working on a Magic rebrand on Photoshop.
That's what you're always working on. That's your
yes,
life.
Yes, but I've started a new one.
A new one. Okay. Well, congrats, man. Yeah. JT, you got any final comments or anything you missed?
My only final comments, I wish I'd taken more notes during Paul's thing about Reddit because I've been trying to track his down his username for ages.
Ah,
and he's given away a lot of clues in this podcast.
Yes. You have to go back and listen to it. Until next time. I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that anymore.
I always do it. Always will do it. JT Williams.
Whoa. You lost that case. You can't legally say that.
Yeah, sorry. Muirhead, Nay Williams.
Thank you all so much for listening. We love you. We're sorry we've been away for so long. And catch you on the flip side.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.